The dire effects of climate change around the world are once again in the news. New research from the Global Carbon Project shows global emissions are expected to have increased by 2.7% in 2018. And one place they're expected to increase even more is in China, where scientists say emissions will have risen 4.7% in 2018. China is both the world's largest carbon polluter and a major player at the current climate summit in Poland. So far, the world is watching for what solutions China will bring to the table. Jonas Nam is an assistant professor of energy resources and environment at the Johns Hopkins School of Advanced International Studies, and he says China must be part of the solution to accelerating emissions, but that it can't bear the whole burden for the planet. Hi, Jonas. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you for having me.
So when you saw these initial numbers, were they a surprise to you?
Yes, they were, because for a number of years, we sort of were positive about China leveling off its emissions. And so between 2014 and 2016, emissions in China were largely flat. And then we saw a small spike in 2017 and then a bigger spike in 2018. So that really did come as a surprise.
So I wonder if you could help us understand what's driving the increase globally, which is 2.7% for 2018, and then what's driving the increase for China specifically, which is double that?
Globally, I think it has a lot to do with increasing oil consumption around the world. And in China in particular, it is mostly driven by increasing coal consumption. So the leveling off that we saw between 2014 and 2016 was largely caused by restructuring in the economy domestically. So a move away from heavy industry and manufacturing, slight economic sort of cool down during that time. So the recent increase is really driven by increased heavy industry activity, and that has driven coal consumption and then emissions.
Does this recent rise in emissions indicate that China isn't focusing on moving away from fossil fuels?
China is doing a lot, and in many ways a lot more than the U.S., to get away from fossil fuels. China accounts for about 45% of global investment in renewable energy. It invested more than any other country in the world in wind and solar in the last couple of years. I think in the last year, China's wind installation alone were double that of the next largest wind turbine installer. So there's a lot going on domestically, but it's not completely weaning itself off coal just yet. So coal still accounts for about two-thirds of electricity generation. And it powers this sort of heavy manufacturing industry that's still ongoing in China.
So really, what they're doing is working, but it's not working in the way that it needs to, given this increase in emissions. Are there regional differences in China, rural parts of the country versus urban parts of the country?
So I think we always think about China as this monolithic, very centralized authoritarian regime. And so if something comes out of Beijing, then clearly it must be implemented, you know, as Beijing specifies, all around the country. And that is not how China works. There are many different kinds of interests and many different kinds of governments really within the Chinese system. And so local government, and by local government, I really mean provincial governments and city governments in China, are concerned about economic growth and local economic growth. And sometimes that supports investment in renewable energy industry and wind and solar manufacturing. And sometimes that means investing in manufacturing to shore up growth. And that can pull in a different direction, even if Beijing is saying we want to reduce emissions and make sure we are flattening the emissions rise in China.
So this is all on the heels, obviously, of the current climate summit that's happening right now in Poland. Can you give us a sense of what the goal of this summit is? And are you expecting to see China make any announcements about this most recent announcement about its emissions?
So the current summit really is about hammering out a set of rules that follow from the Paris Agreement a couple of years ago. So in Paris, we really just sort of set a global framework, and we didn't really specify how we were going to measure emissions, how we were going to report them to make it comparable. And so this summit is about making the rule book for measuring these emissions. And it's also an important summit to indicate future emissions reductions targets. So the Paris Agreement did not produce sufficient global greenhouse gas emission reductions to avoid the worst consequences of climate change. And so what it really set up was a framework that would entail coming together every so often and adjusting these targets and making them stricter. And so we are hoping from this summit to see an indication whether the global community is prepared to meet before 2020 to set a new set of targets that are stricter than what was agreed in Paris.
Well, we know that the U.S. has withdrawn from the Paris Agreement under President Trump. Over the weekend in Poland at this summit, there were delegates from the U.S. who sided with Russia and Saudi Arabia in sort of downplaying the findings that we've been talking about. Does that indicate that China is really the leading force globally for any sort of climate change?
I think China is very serious about climate change for a number of reasons. It certainly has huge domestic environmental problems. I think we're all aware of the air pollution crisis in China, and that has the same cause as China's growing greenhouse gas emissions, coal consumption. It's already exposed to climate change, droughts and floods and desertification in the north. But for China, this is also about export industries. China makes all of the technologies that we need to combat climate change, or at least most of them. It's investing in batteries. It makes most of the solar panels in the world. It's one of the largest producers of wind turbines. And it's also trying to sell these products to other markets. And so pushing global climate treaties is a way to create those markets around the world. Domestically, China is on track to meet what it has agreed to do under the Paris Agreement, although that is not enough to, as I said, to avoid the worst consequences of climate change. So China really can be a positive force and is a positive force for this. With the U.S. pulling out, however, the dynamic really has changed. And so what was a bilateral push to get everyone on board now leaves a lot more room for China to push its own interests in this global climate framework. And one of the things that we're all worried about or watching this week and are concerned about is that China has announced that it wants a separate set of rules for reporting and measuring emissions for developing economies. And one of the big achievements of the Paris Agreement really was that we agreed to have one set of rules for all countries. And so China has indicated that it's pulling away from that. And so we'll see what that does to the negotiations this week as all the ministers are flying in to hammer out these agreements. But that's certainly a different dynamic from what we saw a couple of years ago when Obama and Xi Jinping were jointly pushing for agreement with much more consensus. And so in that sense, I think China is leading, but it's leading in a different way now than it was before the U.S. pulled out.
Jonas Nahm is an assistant professor of energy, resources, and environment at Johns Hopkins University. Thanks so much, Jonas.
Thank you for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.